Prepare to be astonished!
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Gobble, gobble. Are you still eating leftovers?
Of course.
Oh, I love Thanksgiving leftovers.
Turkey for a week.
Yeah, it's great. I love the white bread sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like the Wonder Bread, with mayonnaise just, and turkey.
With a little bit of gravy.
Oh, yes.
Just like a half a spoonful.
And Mark likes to put the cranberry sauce on.
Ooh,
I know.
No,
I'm not, and neither of us are big cranberry fans, but just that little tart. I don't know. See, it makes sense, but I don't like the flavor.
I don't dislike cranberry sauce. It's not something I would ever eat outside of a Christmas dinner or a Thanksgiving dinner. And I really just like it because it's the shape of the can, and I always leave it in the shape of the can in the serving bowl.
Yeah. See, none of us eat it. My kids don't eat it. I also think, on that note, let me actually say, I think it's so funny we spend all of this time, right, like leading up to this huge day where kids, literally, my children, eat the bread roll. That's it. They hate turkey. They don't like mashed potatoes. Stuffing could go either way. I mean, stuffing's not great when you don't like mashed potatoes or turkey.
Yeah, okay. I'm second guessing my high opinion of your kids.
They
now
don't like pecan pie, pumpkin pie. It's kind of funny. Like,
okay, well, even though I think it is sacrilegious, have you thought about switching to ham or roast beef then?
Well, you know, I have never cooked Thanksgiving dinner yet, Mac.
Oh my goodness. How have
you believe it?
How have
I've hosted. And so when we host, well, and Mark's done it. Mark's cooked Thanksgiving dinner, so I shouldn't say I haven't, but truly I haven't.
Wow.
But yeah, no, it's always turkey on my family. Yes, Mark's family does. They like to do the prime rib for Christmas.
Mm.
So they hold off on that.
You know, I think last year I switched over for that. I think we did roast beef for the first time.
Yeah, it's fine. I like the turkey, but again, my children eat the dinner rolls.
But see, all the better then you get more
it's fine,
leftovers for you.
But it's still like a big deal. And it's
why go to all that effort?
You know, that's okay.
That's funny.
That's okay.
So, all right. So we're
going to keep talking about Thanksgiving.
We got a whole bunch of things.
Yes.
So let's actually first I need to promote. Because it starts this weekend.
My favorite.
Every weekend in December at the Flavel House, tea and plum pudding in the afternoon.
So fun.
It is so much fun.
And you can make a reservation.
You can if you're bringing a group.
Yes, a group. And a group is what?
I think we define it either 4 or 6.
Okay.
I can't remember.
So if you have 4.
I should know.
Okay. Well, either way, you can call.
You can call us.
And you're just making a reservation. It's nice because they're a bigger table.
It's in the exactly. That's why we try to like lock out that we don't have like 3 people sitting at the big table if we know we got a group coming.
Yeah.
But it's every afternoon, again, every weekend in December, and then from the 26th through the 30th.
And it's such a great place to make good memories. And as you know, and I've shared before, Mark takes our kids and also my niece and nephew, and my cousin Beth has joined, and his sister Marie has joined. So it's this big group I do not join. But they love it. And the kids, they like going because they get to go to the Flavel House.
Exactly. That is enough of a visit right there.
It is. So they walk around, they do all that, and then they absolutely love getting, and I make my kids get dressed up.
Yes.
Right? You know, so that it's special.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a good time, and they look forward to it every year.
And even though it's called plum pudding, it's more like a cake.
Yes.
And you get this wonderful, yummy lemon sauce on it, or if you're an adult, you can get the adult sauce,
which my husband loves.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark loves it. It's like was it brandy or whiskey sauce?
Yeah.
Brandy.
And we just started that like 4 years ago or 5 years ago or so.
Okay.
And
which is probably when we started.
It is.
But yeah, but they like the tea too, you know, because you feel very fancy. And
the tea is yummy.
And you get served.
A special blend only available at the Flavel House.
Ooh.
It's made specially for us.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Who makes it?
Well,
Santa's elves. All
right. That's right. And then speaking of Santa, we have, I used to call this Santa in the House, but really more appropriate, it's Old Saint Nick.
Okay.
In the House is the evening of the 15th, December 15th. So
that's a put free that event.
Oh, no, it isn't.
It's not.
No, we charge.
Because you're going to the Flavel house still.
Yes.
Okay, because he's in the house.
Yeah, you're coming into the house.
Well, then Santa's free. I guess I was thinking of
Santa
it as...
Santa is free.
As tea and plum pudding is extras.
Tea and plum pudding's a fundraiser.
Yes.
So the Santa or Old Saint Nick is an event.
But it's with the purchase of...
cookies and... but it's in the evening, so you just come directly to the house.
Got it. Okay.
You got cookies and hot chocolate. You've got crafts. We've had music. We're still working on that. And then Old Saint Nick.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah.
Do I question you on who the sponsor is this year? I don't remember. It's okay. No, we'll get back to that. Again, Santa's elves are doing all this magic.
Yeah, we'll talk about it again next week.
Okay.
A little more details. All right. Oh, and then one other thing. I've got to go on a riff here.
Oh.
I've been watching. I'm only halfway through. It's a four-parter. I think it's on Netflix, but I can't remember the exact name. If it's Death by Lightning.
Oh, no.
But it's about President Garfield.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I've been on President Garfield for a long time because I read a book about him, and I was just very struck by it. I think he's one of the most decent people to ever be the president of the United States.
Okay.
He was shot. And he only lasted like 6 months, but he didn't really want to become president. He got drafted at the convention.
Okay.
And it's a four-part series. I'm halfway through. It's really well done.
And so, is it going through his presidency or like sort of leading up to it?
It starts with him and the guy that kills him.
Oh, okay.
And like right at the convention, right before the convention. So it's not his whole life. There's some flashbacks of he was a general in the Civil War. Mm. But
okay.
So I kind of wanted to say this so that I'm on record if this show becomes popular and people start talking about it and they think, oh, Mac, you just got interested in President Garfield because of this movie.
Netflix and chill.
So, no. All right. I've been on this. I've been talking about him on every time we talk about presidents. Sometimes I'll talk about Garfield.
But you have a feeling. You have a feeling. Okay.
It might be good. Right. But so far, halfway through, it's really good. I just don't know if anybody but me is watching it. So anyway, I think it's Death by electrocution or electricity or something.
Okay.
Because they try experimental surgeries on him after he gets shot.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do the history highlights. Sure. So these are things tomorrow, December 1st.
Cyber Monday.
I can't believe you just said that. All right.
Is that 1st. Not historic yet?
No, definitely not. We might be reversed on this one.
I know, right?
1887. Sherlock Holmes first appears in print.
Oh.
In Study in Scarlet. By Arthur Conan Doyle.
Okay.
1913. Cool. And I thought about making this the history highlight. 1913, Ford's assembly line starts rolling when he installs the first moving assembly line for the mass production of an entire automobile.
It's pretty influential.
Totally new.
Yeah.
You didn't do that before. Now your job is you're just the guy that puts two lug bolts in and that's it. And then it keeps past you.
Well, and it changed the output too,
exactly.
Right? I mean, it increased the speed.
Yeah. The same year, 1913, the first drive-up gasoline station opens.
Ooh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That prior to that, you're probably just going to some place and they're like, you get propane today or something.
How old-fashioned. You had to pump your own gas.
Yeah. But it's in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Okay.
Yeah.
You probably didn't pump your own gas.
Oh, definitely not.
Okay.
Yeah. Might have been like prepackaged for all I know. I don't know. I'd have to check into this.
I know. I want everyone to pump my gas.
That's right. 1917. Well, either stay here or go to New Jersey.
I know.
All right. 1917, Boys Town is founded by Father Edward Flanagan, west of Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, Boys Town. Kind of
Boys
big.
Boys Town.
Very influential. Still a big deal in Omaha.
Oh, I forgot I was going to quiz you on the year. It's too late now. 1929, the game of bingo is invented by American toy salesman Edwin S. Lowe. I would have been almost a century off if I had to guess when bingo was created. 1929.
And was it for kids, though? Because now it's really a huge gambling.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
It's so huge.
By a traveling toy salesman.
But a toy, okay, fun.
1940, Richard Pryor is born. I like Richard Pryor. All right. 1953, Hugh Hefner publishes the first edition of Playboy magazine. Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. Oh, is it? She's the first.
Was the first centerfold.
Okay.
Poor Marilyn. All right. 2019. She's rolling her eyes at me, people. 2019, but I think you will agree.
But this isn't the history highlight yet.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
2019, earliest traceable patient, a 55-year-old man developed symptoms of a novel coronavirus in Wuhan, China.
COVID-19.
COVID. So, I'm sorry. That is history. Now,
yes, so. It is.
I know you don't like it, but hey. But our history highlight today, 1955, Rosa Parks ignites a bus boycott when she refuses to give up her seat.
Oh, I like that.
So the thing about, and I still love this story. I love Rosa. She was handpicked. Mm-hmm. This is all deliberate. It wasn't just like a chance thing.
She really wasn't just tired at the end of her long day. No,
this was a very deliberate, mm-hmm. we want to find a case that we can bring. And she was the perfect person to sit in that courtroom later.
Right.
As the victim of this. And it did what it was supposed to do.
Right. Because here was this kind, older, she wasn't old by any means, woman who had truly did work all day. Yep. And was being forced to give up her seat to young white men.
Yeah.
Just because she was a person of color.
And sitting near the front instead of in the back.
Right.
Which really, come on, it's a seat on a bus.
Yeah, very shocking.
Sit wherever there's a seat. So that's history out of the day.
Yeah,
what
I agree.
Anything?
No, you didn't.
All right, but Cyber Monday may or may not be something historical.
Right. And Black Friday. We're going to talk about Black Friday. Oh, yeah, Black Friday. So did you go shopping?
I stayed totally away from every place except for work.
Oh,
I had to come to work.
Oh, that's fun, though. And on that note, should stores be open or closed on Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you own the business and you're willing to be there, and you think it's worth it, sure, that's a nice convenience for, oh my gosh, we forgot something, or I need to go get this. Or, you know, maybe I don't want to cook and I want to go to the restaurant.
Right. Lots of restaurants are open.
But for a employer, for your employees, you should be closed.
Mm-hmm.
At least part of the day.
I think that that's fair. I mean, it used to be very common, right? Mm-hmm. That grocery stores in general, we're really speaking about grocery stores because...
open to like 2 o'clock or something.
Right. But they really were closed. And that has changed in the past few years. And then we've kind of gone back and forth, right? Where now they're open half days. Mm-hmm. But yeah, out of convenience, it is nice because you always do forget something.
You forget something.
Right.
The rolls. And then your house would be a catastrophe.
It would be. My children wouldn't eat. But we're going to talk about Black Friday.
All right.
Is from the History Channel. The first recorded use of the term Black Friday was applied not to post-Thanksgiving holiday shopping, but to a financial crisis, specifically the crash of the U.S. gold market on September 24th, 1869.
Oh, I totally thought that's what we were talking about today. Do you remember the time we were talking about the Civil War and you were talking about the football game? And I, until you actually said the word football, I was like, what are you? Oh.
Oh.
So anyway.
Yes.
I'm an historian.
Sports. Yeah, I need to be careful with sports. Okay. Two notoriously ruthless Wall Street financiers, Jay Gould and Jim Fisk, worked together to buy up as much as they could of the nation's gold, hoping to drive the price sky high and sell it for astonishing profits. On that Friday in September, the conspiracy finally unraveled, sending the stock market into a free fall and bankrupting everyone from Wall Street barons to farmers. The most repeated story behind the Thanksgiving shopping-related Black Friday tradition links to its retailers. As that story goes, after an entire year of operating at a loss, in the red, stores would supposedly earn a profit, went into the black, on the day after Thanksgiving because holiday shoppers blew so much money on discounted merchandise.
That's interesting, and I don't know that I buy that.
Oh.
I mean,
It's as the story goes.
Yeah, I'm curious about most businesses. When do they actually, you know, there's always that when have you as an individual earned enough to pay your taxes? But I'm very curious what the tipping point is for most businesses that, hey, we're definitely going to be in the black. We're going to have
and
a profit
go
for the year.
The entire year, right?
Yeah, is it really that deep in the year?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it depends on the business, right? So though retail companies indeed used to record losses in the red and profits in black when doing their accounting, this version of Black Friday's origin is the officially sanctioned but inaccurate story behind the tradition.
All right. So in recent years, another myth has surfaced that gives a particularly ugly twist to the tradition, claiming that back in the 1800s, Southern plantation owners could buy enslaved workers at a discount on the day after Thanksgiving. Though this version of Black Friday's roots has understandably led some to call for a boycott of the retail holiday, it has no basis in fact. Yeah, that doesn't ring true for me either. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
The real history behind Black Friday, however, is not as sunny as retailers might have you believe. Back in the 1950s, police in Philadelphia used the term to describe the chaos that ensued on the day after Thanksgiving when hordes and hordes and hordes of suburban shoppers and tourists flooded into the city in advance of the big Army-Navy football game held on that Saturday every year.
Is that funny?
It all comes together. Football. I just mentioned football, and all of a sudden we're talking football.
So we're coming back to sports. Not only were Philly cops not able to take the day off, but they had to work extra long shifts dealing with the additional crowds and traffic. Shoplifters also took advantage of the bedlam in stores and made off with merchandise, adding to the law enforcement headache. By 1961, Black Friday had caught on in Philadelphia to the extent that the city's merchants and boosters tried unsuccessfully to change it to Big Friday to remove the negative connotations.
That's not going to work.
That didn't work.
That's not going to take.
The term didn't spread to the rest of the country until much later, however, and as recently as 1985, it wasn't in common use nationwide. Sometime in the late 1980s, however, retailers found a way to reinvent Black Friday and turn it into something that reflected positively rather than negatively on them and their customers.
See, I have to think about this because I'm a child. I grew up in the 80s. And I honestly don't remember if it was just my parents didn't do this kind of thing, like, let's get up at 4 a.m, go buy socks at the store, or if it just wasn't a thing where I lived and in that time period.
I have no memory of doing anything like this.
Yeah.
See, my entire childhood through teenagers.
I think even though we're seeing 1950s and then suddenly we're in the late 80s now, I don't think that's a nationwide thing yet.
Right.
I think it's maybe the 90s or the 2000s.
Well, I think certainly we're leading this into, it's a marketing phenomenon,
yes.
Right? Like, this is what retailers really turn this into. And the result was that red to black concept of the holiday mentioned earlier and the notion that the day after Thanksgiving marked the occasion when American stores finally turned a profit.
See, what I think, and I'm going to sound really old here, and I'm okay with that. I think to me that Friday after Thanksgiving was always about, now all the Christmas stuff is out.
Yeah.
Now your Christmas and holiday shopping starts. And we've lost that because they're out there by September.
That's true. And that is, you know, in my family, we always got our tree the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which for some people, that's really early. But it's stuck. I mean, and we still do it now. Mm-hmm. We do that then. But yeah, I think you're right. And I think that the day after Thanksgiving, because people did have the day off from work, so a long weekend, they also needed something to do, right? So
that was
a marketing dream.
Well, and that's why museums are open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after Thanksgiving, because you got all these guests in town and you're getting sick to death of looking at each other in the house. And what a great thing
exactly.
to do is go out and visit a museum.
Rain or shine, right? So the Black Friday story stuck. Pretty soon, the terms darker roots in Philadelphia were largely forgotten until we brought them up today. Since then, the one-day sales bonanza has morphed into a four-day event and beyond, we know, right? And spawned into other retail holidays such as Small Business Saturday, Sunday, and Cyber Monday. Stores opened earlier and earlier on that Friday, and now most dedicated shoppers can head out right after their Thanksgiving meal Thursday.
And of course, in Astoria, we have plaid
Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one too. And you get a discount for wearing plaid, or you just wear it because it's fun. Do you remember?
See, I want to say you get a discount, but the minute I do, and
I know
that's not true, then all of a sudden, like, everyone's going to be mad at us.
Just wear plaid and be happy.
That's right. Yeah. Because if you're wearing plaid, you should be happy.
Exactly.
All right. So 2020 changes everything.
It really did. This goes back to one of your history highlights.
The preference for Black Friday online shopping was amplified in 2020, and it became the dominant mode of shopping that season. The COVID-19 pandemic all but put an end to in-store shopping on Thanksgiving Day. Most retailers opted to remain closed for the first time in a decade. While some offered in-store Black Friday sales, these were far more subdued compared to the frenzied race through the aisles of years past. Some retailers offered concurrent in-store and online deals for an entire month.
Others, like Walmart and Target, offered several Black Friday events throughout November. Doing so eliminated the need to line up on the big day.
And so you and I talked about this. Neither one of us have stood in line for any toy, any item at all. But I was sharing with you that when I was working in media and I was a reporter, it really was a fun event to cover. And I covered a lot of them because every year, that's like the main story.
Okay, so let's quiz a little bit here because we did talk about this before we went on the air. So you don't get up at 4 a.m. with the kids and go buy socks for half the price or whatever they are.
Never.
You've never done that. You've never had interest in it.
No.
And yet, you covered those exact events and you thought they were fun.
I did.
So what's the difference? Is it the kids? Is it that you're a little bit older and you don't want to get up that early? Is it the crowd? So what makes the difference between it was fun to cover it as a reporter, but not fun to participate in for you?
Well, because for one, I wasn't standing in line, right? I got to walk through the line, go in the store, go, you know, be wherever on any side. And honestly, people were always in a really good mood. And then, of course, the people that we put on television were only the people that were nice, right? Yes. Like if people were angry or getting frustrated about being in line, they're not going to be on TV.
Is that the same today, though? I mean, wouldn't in this ugly environment that we live in now?
See, Mac, I am a different kind of reporter than a lot of people.
Yeah.
but yeah, it was fun. You know, and I remember a lot of the toys, like toys were kind of a big deal, which again, that Cyber Monday sort of has taken over that because you can buy online now. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go line up for one of 200 Elmos.
And to find the right one.
Or the, you know, the special Nintendo that's coming out. But no, it was fun. And and people would line up the day before. So you could, even on Thanksgiving, you could go interview people that were camped out. I remember in Reno, Nevada, it's like freezing cold. And people would have their tents outside the Best Buy or outside, you know, the stores that we were covering there. So,
you know, the only thing that would even make me begin to consider doing that, it would have to be, like, I'm buying a $1,000 item and they're giving it to me for $50.
Right.
I mean, half price is not enough.
Well, and I think, too, a lot of people are racing in and they don't necessarily even know what the discount is, right?
See that? I do not understand.
I don't know. So, not marketing to us, but we find a lot of humor in it.
Not in my DNA. Nope.
So let's see, 2021 brings new twists and turns. The pandemic's still ongoing, but not at the same stage as it was in 2020. Everyone had a hard time predicting how the biggest shopping day of the year would go. Most retailers still remained closed on Thanksgiving Day, but there were some unique outcomes of the 2021 Cyber Week due to supply chain issues and inflations. We're probably going to see that this year, too, right, in a couple more years. Cart totals were up higher, up 13.9%. Discounts were weaker. Electronics were lower, so you weren't getting as good of a deal. And there were a lot more out-of-stock messages than ever before. That's 2021. So I'm interested to see how this year, too, with tariffs and shipping, and we're still trying to figure everything out, how that will affect this year's shopping.
Yeah. So can you do 2022, or am I doing it?
Go for it.
So 2022 sees inflation enter the picture. In 2022, the decision for stores to stay closed on Thanksgiving Day appeared to be a permanent one for many retailers. Target shared that it would always keep its stores closed on Turkey Day. Additionally, Walmart's CEO stated that keeping stores open on Thanksgiving is a thing of the past.
Interesting. Now it makes me want to look to see if ours are open.
While supply chain issues were not as prevalent in 2022, inflation had a large impact on Black Friday prices. Despite the higher prices, online Black Friday spending in the U.S. hit a record high of $9.12 billion. Mobile shopping also saw an increase, driving the majority of sales at 51% overall, up from 46%. Okay. See, though, that's one of the days that the museums are closed is Thanksgiving.
Okay. And you are not closed. I mean, very few days. Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
New Year's Day.
And then we have the last couple of years, we've actually closed on the 2nd as well to do inventory.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would. Do you have to do inventory on?
Well,
that's close to the first.
It messes up your counts if you've already sold stuff that you're now counting.
Oh, yeah.
And we wanted to start the year.
Right.
With here's a clean count.
Oh, that's true.
So.
Okay. 2023, this year continued the trend of breaking spending records on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Shoppers spent $9.8 billion on Black Friday and a hefty $12.4 billion on Cyber Monday. Having the sales start earlier doesn't stop customers from still spending big on those days. Going down, looking at some Black Friday products, 2024, found old favorites, TVs, smartwatches, headphones, KitchenAid mixers, and video games consoles were pretty popular. Toys, Lego sets, Bluey, and Lights and Sounds Playhouse were hot items.
That list just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, okay, let's see. I do have a TV in my house, smartwatch. I think there's at least one in my house. Wireless headphones, maybe if my kids are home. KitchenAid mixers. I mean, mine are so old.
Oh, but do you still have a KitchenAid?
Oh, some brand. I don't know what brand, but I mean, we have mixers.
Yes. I mean, KitchenAid's like the one to go, but they're pretty expensive.
Then I probably don't. I probably have a knockoff brand of some kind.
And video game consoles?
We do.
Oh, you do. Yeah. Not in our home. Not yet. But everything else, like all the Bluey and Lego. Yeah. Yes. That sounds pretty popular still. Same in 2023, toys, Hot Wheels, Disney, Barbie, and Lego.
Okay, Hot Wheels makes me happy because I played with Matchbox and Hot Wheels as a kid. So I'm glad they're still around.
There you go. And video game consoles too. Nintendo Switch, Xbox Series, PlayStation, extremely popular among gamers. Other hot products included skincare gift sets, small kitchen appliances, TVs, smartwatches. So smartwatches are just starting to get popular around then. Mm-hmm. Bluetooth headphones. 2022, toys were the big purchase during this time. And this included Pokemon cards were just kind of taken off. Lego, Hot Wheels, Disney Encanto, LOL surprise dolls, Cocomelon and Hatchimals. All things my kids like.
Wow, I'm even really now. Out of touch with the kid thing.
Yeah.
Legos, okay, I got those.
Yeah, all the things. So what else do we have? We also have, so you can buy your tickets online still for the Nutcracker.
Ooh.
Reserve seating this year, which is kind of cool. So you don't have to worry about lining up early.
Has there ever been reserve seating before?
Never.
Seems like it's going to overcomplicate it.
There's been reserved sections. Mm-hmm. So there's been tiered pricing. Like you sit near the front, it's a little bit more expensive. And then there's general admission in the back. I love it because I have to get, I'm in the show and then I have dancers in it, but I also have a child not in it, family members not in it. So trying to line up and then secure 14 to 26 seats together is pretty difficult, right?
Sure.
So my tickets were bought a month ago.
And do you want them in your family in the front so you can keep an eye on them?
So it depends on who I was buying for. Like Kaya, definitely my little 5-year-old did not get the front row seats. But some of my other adult family members, we did put pretty close. And then I do watch one show myself after my scene.
Oh.
And I do put myself, I don't know if I was in the front row, but pretty close. It's pretty magical.
See, that changes the equation of whether you're watching or you're running out and sitting down. But for me, for any kind of live performance, I want to sit in the back.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I don't want to be near the front.
Well, then that's...
And maybe I'm just afraid the magician or the comedian is going to pull me out of the audience.
Doesn't happen with Nutcracker.
They should. You should tell them, like, for one dance, they should pull somebody out from the audience and make them dance.
Have you met Jeannie Peterson?
Yes.
Never going to happen. Pretty tight ship she runs. But yes, so dress rehearsals are this week kind of magical too. Only two run-throughs, one dress rehearsal on Friday.
Wow.
This coming Friday. And then two shows Saturday and one show on Sunday.
All right.
But littleballettheater.com, you can find your tickets ahead of time. You can buy them at the door as well. So easy to do that. But
if you
want to reserve those seats in the back, Mac, you can go ahead and do it now.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Happy holidays.
Don't trip out there. And hope you do well. And go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.